speaker. That audio is very, very long. We'll have to put that up on the probably on the website. Headlines, though, for today. Iran and the U.S. are increasingly finding themselves, wait for it, on the same side of a range of regional issues in the Middle East, surrounding insurgencies raging across that region, many of them brought about by what else? Our own meddling, CIA operatives in the area, rooting about, attempting to sway leaders there, topple governments, and generally create the sort of mayhem that allows the U.S. to get a footprint in the area and essentially monetize human misery. So how bad is it? So bad that computer systems designed for processing poverty claims have never been so overloaded and are crashing left and right. No political pun intended. So what to do about that problem? Apparently, we have literally overtaken our own capacity to process the aforementioned human misery. And if the purpose of the press is to be a public interest watchdog, then the science media is a uniquely unsuccessful institution. More on that. And in California yesterday, Senator Ted Lieu, he's a Democrat, and Senator Jill Anderson, Republican of San Diego, introduced the Fourth Amendment Protection Act to prohibit any state support of the NSA. California, once again leading the nation. And up in Seattle, Shoma Sawant, former community college professor, won the citywide election. The socialists were sworn in yesterday. There was a riotous celebration at the inauguration, at the reception. KBOO volunteer listener, ardent supporter, were up there recording, and Paul Maresch was with us throughout the whole evening, talking, bringing us highlights of the speeches that were made. And we'll have more audio, as I mentioned before, on that later on. Thanks so much to Paul Maresch for being there. Weather first, though, before we speak with Ralph Pointer, and hopefully we'll be speaking with Lynn herself today. Rain for today, highs near 45. We get a south wind, mild, 6 to 9, and dead certain chance of precipitation into the night. Evening hours, lows around 41. Light winds gusting up to 18 out in some regions. And for tomorrow, more rain in the forecast, highs near 48. Breezy, 10 to 15, gusting up to 24. And for tomorrow night, rain is still coming down, lows around 42. And again, breezy, gusting up to 25 miles per hour. The alternative forecast, it's a first quarter leaf moon in Pisces. The moon is 6 days old. And for those who are raving the elements out there, no, we don't have a polar vortex. We have, I suppose, our own Cascadian vortices. The synodic outlook, they suggest seed-bearing fruits. In other words, it is a good time to start up anything that you intend to set out in flats. You know, greenhouses is a good time to get going with that. Use floating row covers to protect seedlings if you're going for the outdoor approach. The biodynamic forecast. Moon in Pisces, it's a water sign. Leaf plants, they agree in agreement with the synodic people. And the sidereal outlook, moon in Pisces, water sign promotes root growth. And that's it for both your alternative and conventional forecasts. Moving right along, we are very fortunate to have Ralph Pointer on the air with us this morning to bring us details of what happened. This came as a surprise. Ralph, intending to visit Lynn for the holidays, got a phone call. And of course, the conditions under which Lynn Stewart was released are less than salubrious. And apparently, her prison keepers at Carswell were none too pleased to be releasing their perhaps most well-known prisoner, very, very ill, but free nonetheless. Good morning, Ralph. Thank you so very much for being with us today. And hopefully we'll have Ralph on the line in just a few minutes. If you're there, Ralph, good morning. We'll try and get Ralph on the line. We also will be speaking later on another program with Ralph Schoenman, also a part of the Lynn Stewart Defense Committee, and Lynn herself in a little while. We first, though, it's very important to remark on this and to continue to stress the fact that Kshama Sawant, former community college professor, and in all the mainstream media, it is reported that she won a surprising victory. A socialist win is no surprise to those on whose behalf Kshama was campaigning all along. The main plank in her platform, of course, was a $15 an hour minimum wage. That itself is still, in many ways, a cruel victory. Living on $15 an hour for a family of four is no picnic. And even that, the port of Seattle attempted to snatch away from workers at the airport. It's worth noting that Kshama Sawant, being born in the nation India, no stranger there to political movements on behalf of the poor. The state of Kerala has been traditionally communist for a very, very long time. Kerala has been one of the richest before India's massive tech explosion and the phenomena that is current-day Bangalore. Kerala state was a bastion of the Indian Communist Party for many, many years. So there is a bit of history there. We're speaking now with Ralph Poynter. Welcome to the KBOO Airways. We're so pleased to have you with us today.
So pleased to be with you today and under these circumstances.
Yeah, indeed. And if Lynn's there and we are able to speak with her, it would be wonderful. But please, Ralph, tell us what happened. You weren't, I understand, expecting this, or at least not the timing of it.
Yes, I went to visit Lynn, our annual New Year's Day prison visit. I was in the air when the phone calls were back and forth between the judge and the lawyers and the prison. And when everything was signed, I was ordering a car for the week because I was going to visit Lynn New Year's Day and then stay in Fort Worth, Texas in a hotel for 2 days and then visit her Saturday and Sunday, which were regular visiting days. And I had ordered a Focus for 6 days. And when I got the phone call to say, don't go to the hotel, this was on a Tuesday, go to the prison. Lynn is waiting in the parking lot. While I started screaming, cancel that Focus and get me for 6 days and get me a Cadillac for 12 hours because that's all I need to go get Lynn, make air flight, you know, arrangements, and get back to New York. And then I'll let Lynn tell you what happened from there.
Lynn. Lynn, thank you so much.
Hi there. We have one phone between us. I still haven't hooked up all my life supports here.
Lynn, we're so glad that you're free.
No, I can't tell you the outpouring of love and support and joy that has been expressed by so many people. It's just, you know, I've been in the movement most of my life. And I have never experienced this. This is so wonderful that we are able to have a victory at long last and to have it so joyously, because you know they weren't giving in. We thought they would do what they did to Herman Wallace down at Angola and just keep me stonewalled until I was ready to die, and then they would say, "Well, we'll let her go now." But now I'm out here, I can fight the cancer, I can get back to the real fight, the fight we all have to make for improvement of prison conditions and also to the other political prisoners. So I couldn't be happier. Ralph, found me in the parking lot, took me to the motel. We stayed overnight there, and the next morning we flew to New York. And I know most of your audience, I hope, has seen the video. That's not the right word anymore, I guess. But anyway, I'm old-fashioned. The video of my homecoming at LaGuardia Airport, which is really touching and bright and joyous, is the only word for it. If they haven't, it's Amy Goodman. They can go, you know, pick it up on her website. But that was then, and now I'm sort of laying low because I have to get to see the cancer doctors at Sloan Kettering, and they have to tell me what I'm allowed to do, what I'm not allowed to do, what would be best. So that's the position we're in right now, and I can't tell you because it's the difference between, you know, a sham life and a real life. And I am so happy to be back with my family, my friends, and my, of course, extended political family, the people I've loved and worked with all the years I've been in jail and many, many years before that.
Lynn, the fact that you're free, of course, this is the greatest gift the New Year has brought to the activist community, because, of course, this inspires and engages people all over again. When you were in Carswell, people don't understand what that is. It's a communications management unit. To survive Carswell and to survive cancer and to be denied treatment, you've got to be one hell of a tough person to come through all that. And your voice sounds strong and clear. Tell us a little bit more about the release. When did you know? How did they go about telling you?
Well, almost 1 week ago, to the hour, actually, I was pulled down to the counselor's office. And I thought it was about revising my visitors list because Pearl Means, the wife of Russell Means, was supposed to come and visit me. But because my visitors list was so crowded, they were saying, well, you're going to have to take somebody off to put her on. So I thought that's what that was about. When I got down there, there was a call from my lawyer from France. She was on Christmas vacation in France. And immediately my antenna went up because lawyers don't call on New Year's Eve to give people bad news. They would wait till the holiday was over. But and the counselor said, wait in the hall, which she never did. She always had me wait in the office. So I waited in the hall. I actually was a floor I had been a resident on many, many, many months and years, actually. So I hobnobbed with all my old friends. And then I hear her say, the counselor say to Jill, that's my lawyer, Jill Shello, on the phone, she says, I'm taking off my headphones because when she screams, I don't want her to break my eardrums. Well, at that point, you don't scream when they bring you bad news. So I thought, oh, has this finally happened? And, of course, Jill's message was that the order had been forwarded by the U.S. Attorney's office to the judge. It was already on his desk. And, you know, he had promised us, when we tried to go directly to him and bypass the Bureau of Prisons, which we were not permitted to do, but he had said if he could get it in front of him, he would look favorably upon it.
Lynn, so we're out of time. I was just speechless. I'm so with this. I'm so happy that you're free, and I want to thank Ralph and everyone.
Thank you, everybody in Portland. My brother lives there, and I have so many friends. Ian Head, who ran my wonderful website all these years, he's out there with his family on vacation. All that, and all of Portland, I could name after name after name of all the people who have supported me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Lynn, that was, of course, Lynn Stewart. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned. Thank you.
Today on Flashpoints, the Iraqi government prepares to invade Fallujah. What's really going on the ground there? Is it Al-Qaeda or a homespun uprising? Also, activists in Santa Rosa build a new memorial for Andy Lopez. Flashpoints was on the ground over the weekend and spoke to the folks with the hammers and the nails about why they came out to rebuild the memorial. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. Listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. First up, a mini documentary I recorded on Saturday in Santa Rosa, where people gathered to rebuild the memorial for Andy Lopez. Lopez was gunned down by Sheriff's Deputy Eric Gilhouse, 7 bullets in 10 seconds. The memorial burned down in the middle of the night on June 2nd. Nobody in the community believes it was an accident, even though that's the word from local officials. Listen to this.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. This is Dennis Bernstein. I'm here on Moreland Avenue where the memorial that was burned down a couple of days ago, the memorial for Andy Lopez, who was gunned down 7 bullets on October 22nd. That was National Anti-Police Brutality Day. Gunned down in this park, right where I'm standing. And just as I say, a couple of days ago, the memorial was burned down. But the community has come in, and they're building a bigger, stronger, better memorial. We're going to see if we could talk to some of the people who are doing this work. You can hear the saws going, the drills going, the cutting happening, and the building coming together. You can hear the music in the background. This is a community calling for justice, and it's a community that's actively fighting for its rights. Let's see if we can talk to some of the